Like the boy who cried wolf. Right? That's like a tale.
Yeah.
You know, you cry wolf, and there's no wolf. And there's wolf, and there's no wolf. And then the wolf shows up, and then the wolf eats him.
When Armageddon finally does show up, nobody's going to believe it.
No one's going to care.
Nobody's going to, especially if Nancy Pelosi is the one that is tasked with announcing it to the world. No, seriously, guys. This time, it's actually Armageddon. Nobody believes you, Nancy Pelosi.
So many of them are so much of what they have said the GOP is for a long time. Now, granted, there are those in the GOP who cry wolf as well, but for crying out loud, guys. It's like the wacky wall walker, you know, technique of outrage. Will it stick?
Corporations are going to be allowed to keep a little bit more money than they were before.
No!
Armageddon!
Gosh!
Geez. No!
They're making different tax brackets for people. Doing it!
She said, Nancy Pelosi in that Fox News episode, it's literally life or death. No, it is not. And when you say things like that, there are people out there that believe you, and that is dangerous. I hate that rhetoric. I hate that rhetoric. It's just tax reform, people.
Right. Right. That's all that it is. And it tells you how little of an argument that they have on the left right now. You know, when Nancy, if it is Nancy Pelosi, so whatever, but you know, she's not the only one. There are prominent people on the left, and we talked about it yesterday when, you know, in the cloak of darkness, in the dead of night, they ended up passing the tax reform out of the Senate. You know, we talked about how everybody was just doomsday, hellfire and brimstone on Twitter of tax reform, for crying out loud. That wasn't even finished yet. It tells you how little they have to argue and how much still in disarray the left currently is, because they're not out there trying to talk about their own policies and their own agendas and their own ideals and what they believe in. They're still trying to use this tactic that the sky is falling.
Everything
is horrible.
Yeah, the travel ban is Armageddon.
Everything is awful.
Tax reform is Armageddon. Trump reduces the amount of federally protected lands out west. Armageddon.
Everything that Trump does is awful, you know. Everything is awful. It's horrible.
I don't know what you're doing. That was Armageddon. That was literally.
I changed the Lego movie song.
It's just there.
It's the Lego movie song.
Yeah, I changed
Except
the Lego movie song.
The opposite of everything is awesome. Get it?
Yeah,
get it?
Dad jokes.
That's the joke.
Thanks for explaining it, Sam.
I thought you didn't get it. I was trying to be helpful.
Yeah. And then there's Trump and his food choices, and we'll get to that again. We'll get to that next hour.
News?
People are worried about his Filet-O-Fish eating habits. Have you ever had a Filet-O-Fish, Sam?
I have not, but I do appreciate fish. Okay. I just don't appreciate Filet-O-Fish. I don't appreciate whatever that is.
Yeah. We'll get to that a little bit.
I don't know. It ain't fish. I don't know what
it's got fish in it.
It's delicious, you know,
I believe that there's fish in it.
It's fish-like.
Yeah, fishy. Yeah. It's fishy.
It's fishy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I like on my sandwich, fishy.
It's Filet-O-Fish-ish.
Do you know, that sounds terrible.
Do you know the real backstory behind the Filet-O-Fish, by the way?
I feel like I'm about to hear it.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Well,
wow.
If you guys both knew it, I wasn't going to share it with you.
But
since you haven't heard it.
What if the lovely listener doesn't know?
Well, they can Google.
That's
but
true.
Since you guys haven't heard it before. Back when McDonald's was just starting out, there was a battle between between two of the owners. And one of them wanted to create a pineapple sandwich.
Okay.
And this was based off religion.
What's wrong with that? Pineapple's amazing.
Yeah, pineapple's great. It doesn't belong in a sandwich.
So,
have you ever had a pineapple sandwich?
I don't plan on it.
All right.
So there was
I know what we're doing for lunch.
They had a competition. They said your store can sell. He's like, well, no, you should do a fish sandwich. You should filet a fish. He's like, no, my pineapple sandwich is going to sell better than your filet a fish sandwich. Said, okay, well, we'll over a period of time, we'll have a contest, and whoever sells more of the one, then that's what McDonald's will end up creating. And it turns out that the Filet-O-Fish sold better than the pineapple sandwich, which isn't a huge surprise.
That is not a huge surprise.
No. I've had a pineapple sandwich. It actually isn't all that bad.
I would like a pineapple sandwich.
Put some cheese on it.
No, stop with the cheese on everything. Don't put cheese on pineapple. You don't put cheese on fish.
You do. You do on a Filet-O-Fish.
No, you do not.
Yes, you do.
I actually don't think I've ever had cheese on fish before.
Well, no,
cheese,
because hold on.
It's not a thing.
No, there's a difference.
Yeah.
I'd like a Kraft single on my sea bass, please.
That's different.
Nobody does that.
That is different.
It's not different.
That is different than putting a slice
what?
of Okay, you can't speak to this because you haven't had a fillet of fish. Okay, so let's just be clear.
Are you fillet of fish splaining me?
I am. Yeah. I'm totally fish splaining you right now.
Stop fish splaining me.
I'm fish splaining you.
No.
Fillet of fish with a slice of cheese is absolutely different than what Drew said. And Drew, I'm with you. You know, you're not ordering sushi and then asking for shredded Colby Jack cheese on top. You're not going to, that's awful and horrible. But a slice of American cheese on a filet of fish sandwich being fried is a completely different ballgame.
I vehemently disagree.
Well, you can disagree, but you would be wrong. That is very different because they sell
how
it in the store.
Can I be wrong? It's just an opinion.
So well, your opinion is wrong. That's how you can be wrong. Right now, in this moment of people having wrong opinions, yours is one.
Filet of fish, you don't put cheese on fish. You just don't. It's wrong.
People do, and I do.
That is un-American.
I am very much American, and I don't appreciate you calling me un-American for doing so because of your wrong opinion. I'm going to ignore you now. Out of Channel 5, the system is backlogged by more than 3 months, but some drivers have been waiting even longer. Late this spring, Jim Powers bought a 1993 Toyota Camry for his daughter. He knew it needed some work, but it turns out to be a bigger headache. Was making it legal. I'm still waiting on the title.
6 months later.
Yeah, man. The state still hasn't sent
over the car's title.
He said, I can't even junk it. They won't take it as a junk car without the title card.
What a burden. I mean, you know, having a car, you know, you got to store it. You got to have a place for it. You know, obviously you bought it so it can be driven around. But if it takes 6 months to get it legal, that's ridiculous. What is the state going to do to give this guy some recompense?
Oh, that won't do anything.
Of course not.
You know, that's the unfortunate. And look, and there are so many unintended consequences of the troubled Minnesota licensing and registration system that I think, I mean, these are things that even if and when they get the system corrected are still going to have ramifications for individuals. The state says it is mailing out more than 4,000 titles every day. More than 700,000 have been processed since it launched in July. But with progress comes setbacks. I've never in my life, and I'm 61 years old, experienced such insanity in my life. This is according to Liz Gunlatch of Elk River. Said it took 5 trips to the local driver and vehicle service offices for an order of new plates and a title to finally go through.
Oh, my God.
The return trips were required.
That's hell.
Because the $97 million Minlar system kept crashing. What if I got pulled over?
Yeah. The state of Minnesota has effectively created hell on earth.
Yep. They're telling me my plates expired. They said, well, that's your problem. It's up to the officer's discretion. You know, and that's the one part of this. And again, you talk about the unintended consequences. It is unnerving if you've ever, unfortunately, for whatever reason, you know, driven with an expired driver's license, driven around with expired tags, you didn't have the license on your car. I mean, look, it is unnerving when you're driving around in a vehicle that's not street legal. And if it's not your fault.
Right.
You know, I mean, we joked about how, hey, if you get pulled over, you haven't taken care of the stuff, you have the ultimate excuse. But again, it's up to the officer's discretion on whether or not they're actually going to hold you accountable for that. And, you know, where is the state going to pick up the slack in that regard?
They're not going to. The agency said that if customers don't get the tabs in time, they can request a 60-day permit, but it's going to take 90 days to get that permit.
A long time.
I made that part up.
I know. It's probably very accurate and true, though. Yeah. 651-989-5855. All right. We got a whole bunch of school-related stories. Wrong grades printed on hundreds of St. Paul report cards. Stuartville School votes for hot lunches for all students. However, parents who owe more than $75 may face debt collection. In the meantime, there was a story out of the Star Tribune last week. Shaming over school lunch debts has to stop, according to one Minnesota legislator. We're going to talk with Intellectual Takeout's Devin Foley. He's going to join us in studio next, and we're going to break it all down. Justice in Twin Cities News Talk. AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Justice Andrew. Sam is screening your phone call, 651-989-5855. Be careful on the roads right now. Our guest is running behind because of how bad the traffic is. It's nasty out there.
Yeah, I'm seeing a few tweets. 169 northbound. Just don't.
Just don't.
Like, if you're thinking about 169 northbound,
stop thinking.
Apparently, it's a parking lot. You had a couple semis that were stuck, and then according to Twitter, another semi tried to like weave its way in between or around the semis that were stalled, and then got stuck itself. So now you've got like this. You got a wall of semis, basically, that are completely blocking 169. The roads are bad. I mean, it's not like we got a lot of snow, but it's just there's sort of that middle temperature area where the slush just immediately turned into ice.
Yeah.
And the roads are very, very, very slick, very slippery this morning. So just don't. Just stay home.
It's your worst nightmare.
Justice and Drew.
I still remember you talking about how that's the worst scenario. Is when it gets wet outside and then snow falls in the rain and then it freezes.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of close to what happened
overnight. You can't plow ice.
It's true.
But you can salt it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all you can do.
You doing a salt dance? What are you doing?
Sam had her arm, was waving her arms in the air.
It's like a showgirl. You can salt it.
You can salt it. Maybe
salt all the roads.
Yeah, it's like when you're it's like when the truck's going spewing the salt out.
I just do a video where I'm just
like
a showgirl.
Jazz hands for salting roads.
Yeah, I'm like the truck spewing out the salt. I'm just like these aren't my jazz hands, these are my salt spewing hands.
Passed one of those this morning. All right. So
a salt spewing hand?
No,
salt truck.
Not a salt. Not a salt, not a salt. Salt.
What's wrong with this morning? All right, so Devin Foley from Intellectual Takeout.
Our guest is late.
Is a real late. Well, I am looking at things. I know. If we can stop with the assault salts talk, we can get to stuff and things. So out of Channel 5, office holiday parties get another look as scandals continue. When was the last time, like when you say office holiday party, is there a holiday party that sticks in your mind? It's like a one particular that sticks out at all?
Yeah, but not for good reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same thing.
I embarrassed myself.
Same thing. So did I.
Yeah. It wasn't like a drunken or anything. I just.
Oh, mine was.
No.
No, it was during the dark years working in rock radio. I was working for a rock station, and we had an office Christmas party at a resort. And I remember bringing a recorder with me.
Why?
Because I wanted
a terrible idea.
I wanted to record all of the people being stupid at the party, and then have it to play back on the morning show.
No.
All that I ended up
violating the unwritten rules of the holiday party.
All that I ended up doing was providing audio of myself being stupid from the office holiday party, because I'm the one who drank too much and was dumb. So so in that way it ended up working. Unfortunately, I ended up chronicling my own horrific drinking behavior. Not horrific, I just was loud and dumb.
So how is that any different from your average morning?
True story. This article here, though, TV and movies often depict office parties as wildly inappropriate and excruciatingly awkward fiascos, if not horrifying, both. But even a regular office party can be complicated because the rules people normally observe at work don't quite apply, which makes it easier for people to accidentally cross the line or to try to get away with misbehavior. According to a survey from Chicago-based consulting company Challenger Gray and Christmas, only 49% of companies plan to serve alcohol at their holiday events. Last year, that number was 62. The number had been going up each year as the economy had improved.
Okay.
The Huffington Post reported that Vox Media, which runs the sites Vox and Recode, won't have an open bar this year for its. They got one story here from one outlet at its holiday party, and will instead give employees two tickets they can redeem for drinks. It will also have more food than in years past. The office holiday party seems to be. I don't know if it's coming back. I mean, of course, we've been doing the promotion with Acme. I mean, if you're going to have an office holiday party, that's the kind of thing you want to go and do.
Right.
But it seems like having that office holiday party, at least when I was younger, and maybe it was a byproduct of me being young and more wanting to get involved in that, it seems to be somewhat a thing of the past. But that could be, again, just a matter of me getting older and not going to them as much as I used to.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I mean, they've been off and on here since I've been here. Mm-hmm. We've had one every year, but we've had one more years than we haven't. It almost seems like it's more of a more of a burden than anything else. You know, it's like if you're going to do something like the Acme idea, if you're going to do something, make it more of an event. Do something
right.
nice.
Right.
You know, that your employees may not always get the opportunity to go do, or something different, you know, like a sporting event or a comedy show or something along those lines. Just gathering everybody together at a place where they would probably normally go for lunch anyway.
Yeah. Or in your office.
Or in the office itself. That's not. Don't do that.
A survey by Bloomberg Law said those kinds of safeguards are common. While most companies ask bartenders or security or even some employees to keep an eye on how much partygoers are drinking, others limit the number of free drinks or the time they're available. A small minority have cash bars instead of an open bar. The National Federation of Independent Business recommends all of those steps and adds another that might seem obvious these days. Don't hang mistletoe. It's been giving those suggestions for several years.
Who still does that?
I don't think I've ever, and I remember, like, I worked in an office for several years at a trustee company, and they moved around, like, hotels in the area where they had the office party in the big atrium. So it was really cool, you know, because the hotels have those areas designed for that. I don't remember ever seeing the mistletoe.
I think
hung
mistletoe
anywhere.
Only is a thing in movies.
It has.
It's like a movie trope. That's not a real life thing, is it?
I mean,
there's nobody that's out there like, hey, you're under the mistletoe.
I know. I tried it at home and it didn't even work.
Lady. Tried it at home.
Didn't work then either. She's like, I'm not falling for these shenanigans.
Sam, has anybody ever tried to pull the mistletoe thing on you?
Yes.
Ooh, elaborate, please.
Yeah. Ask me if it worked.
I'm going to venture.
Did it work, Sam?
Nope.
Yeah. How much
Do
longer?
Do I seem like someone who would fall for that?
No. How much longer was the mistletoe actually there?
Not long.
Let me take care of this.
So, oh, what's that doing here? Rip, trash.
Yost said, one of the advisors here, says he gets lots of requests for advice in planning and managing these events, but he's getting even more of them this year. He said he'll be spending his corporate holiday party the way he always does, patrolling hallways, checking secluded areas, and trying to watch for people who look like they're stuck in an uncomfortable situation. For example,
he seems fun.
Inappropriate touching or a conversation that's taken a bad turn. Yeah, sounds like the HR person strolling the halls, right?
Yeah, that's what you want. You want your HR department planning your company holiday party. That's always, that's how you're going to make it one to remember.
I really do think what you said, though, is more of the reality. That's not to say, I mean, when you see stuff in TV shows and movies, it's because those things happen in real life. But at the same time, we also get a mental image of what happens in TV and movies and think that that's what's going on, and that's really not the not the case. I mean, I don't know of any circumstances that, apart from me getting drunk at one radio, you know, holiday party and saying stupid things on a recorder, I don't remember any stories of anybody ever getting themselves in trouble at any of the parties that I ever went to, you know, growing up. It seems to be one of those things where that's the, I don't want to say stereotype, but that's what people believe happens, but it really isn't the reality.
No, the worst thing that happened to me at a holiday party was one of my coworkers' spouse was there. I'd never met this person's spouse before, and she was wearing kind of a mock-up tuxedo sort of thing, and I thought she was a server. Because she was wearing, she had like a bow tie,
right? Yeah.
And it looked like an outfit that a server would wear.
Sure.
And she was standing there next to her husband, who was a friend of mine, and I'm like, can you give me a drink? can we get a couple beers over here? She just looked at me, and the guy's like, that's my wife.
Oh, that still haunts you, doesn't it?
That was pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, I can tell.
Like walking into a Target wearing a red shirt and khakis.
There's some fair victim blaming to go on here.
It's like the only time
she did wear kind of an outfit that looked like a server, but yeah, that was kind of embarrassing.
See, I get asked, people ask me for help in the toilet aisle at Target all the time. That's just because I spend so much time there, and I'm more than happy to go and help them out. So
might just look at a name tag.
I know better than most employees there, anyhow.
You just do it for the potential discount.
The Challenger Gray and Christmas survey shows that 80% of companies will have a holiday party, the same as last year. Not everyone is planning to have changes. Yeah, man, just personal responsibility, you know? Like, if you're going to go to the party, get a hat that has the mistletoe hanging off the end.
No.
Yeah,
no, John.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that not the right thing
it's
to do?
It's a really bad idea.
It's really thing, but if you were looking to sell something, might be able to make a few bucks.
But honestly, I mean, we've been talking about it for a while now. If you are planning a holiday party, you really should do it at Acme Comedy Company. We've been partnering up with them, and we actually have a contest going on Twin Cities News Talk right now where you can go and register to win a party at Acme Comedy Company for you and up to 25 people. You can treat your office mates, or you can just invite 25 of your closest friends. It really is the best place to do these types of events.
Well, and you end up taking care of the food in the process too. If you don't realize the food there is as good as the entertainment. It is fantastic. We've all had a chance to eat there several times. They have 50 different options for food, and they've got appetizers, desserts, everything in between. You are completely covered for the evening.
Drinks, food, the world's best comedy, all with one parking spot and at the lowest prices in the North Loop. You've got Styx Restaurant, you've got an amazing bar, and of course, the legendary Acme Comedy Company.
If you want to book your own office party, all you have to do is, if you go to acmecomedycompany.com, you can do it right there on the website. If you want to register to win to have your holiday office party at Acme, go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com.
Justice.
Twin Cities News Talk. AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Justice and Drew along with Sam. If you go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, the Justice and Drew page, we've got several new posts up there, playlist. I put up my favorite Christmas song,
oh,
and
yeah?
It's actually done by this band, by No Doubt. You can go check it out.
I will. I'm going to do the same thing a little bit later on this morning.
It is not traditional, but it is my favorite Christmas song. I listen to it every day during the holiday season.
By No Doubt?
Yeah.
That's your favorite Christmas song?
Uh-huh.
Out of all songs?
Yeah, it's not this
no
one.
No Doubt is your favorite.
It's not this one.
Yeah, and I'm sure that... I'm not surprised that Hella Good is not your favorite Christmas song.
No, not this song.
I know. Because he had to clarify that it's not this song. I was right. Like, yes, of course.
But it is a Christmas song by No Doubt. It's called Oi to the World. And I love it.
And I love it.
And I listen to it every day.
It's called what?
Oi to the World.
Oi?
Yeah. It actually would make good bumper music. You should find it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'll get on that.
Don't mock what we haven't heard yet.
I didn't even mock it.
You were mocking it with your tone. Tell you what, after the show today, we'll go get a filet of fish with cheese on it.
No.
And we can enjoy...
Do people... No, God, please, no!
Yeah, there's people agreeing with me on Twitter.
No, if anybody eats fish with cheese, never interact with me again.
No. Mm-mm. No.
All right, we are waiting. Unfortunately, he's dealing with, like you are, I'm sure, dealing with the weather and the roads outside.
Sitting on the parking lots that is the Twin Cities Interstate System.
Yeah, intellectual takeout. Devin Foley will be joining us in studio. We've got several school stories to dive into. We'll start this off, though, before he arrives. This goes back to just at the end of the month of November. St. Paul's Schools is reprinting report cards. At this point, they will have reprinted. For close to 300 students after their first quarter grades were misreported. I would be, and especially my wife, Melinda, would be through the roof if this had taken place. You know, because if you stay on top of your kids' grades, you want it to be as accurate and up-to-date as possible. And if you're not getting the accurate information, it's incredibly frustrating.
And with the portals that they have now, you know, your report card should not be a surprise. Nothing on your report card
right.
should ever be a surprise.
Right.
Anymore. I mean, you know, I can go in there and I can see every single grade my son has gotten in every single assignment, whether he's missing anything, et cetera, et cetera. He always is.
My parents get notifications on their phone from an app every time a grade is updated or something's put in the system.
It's not like it was when we were. I mean, when we were kids, you could still hide your report card from your parents. I mean, you still had the ability to do that when they sent it home with you. I didn't get it yet. I heard that, you know, Billy's mom said that Billy got his. Oh, really?
Yeah, but if you're going to do that, don't leave it in your jeans and then throw your jeans in the laundry.
Oh, that's a bet.
They'll find it when they...
get to check the pockets.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're speaking from experience.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. That might have happened. Possibly. That's not the place you want to hide your report card from your parents. I'm just saying. Little tip for the kids out there.
A school district spokesperson said teachers last week were given an extension on the deadline to input their grades, but the report cards were printed before the final changes were made. The district had to mail out corrected grades to do homes of 252 students at Open World Learning and 39 at Murray Middle School. The Stuart Downey said the district's web portal, which also displays grades, was not affected by the error. Neither were the students' transcripts. So you can still go online and check it out. Yeah, I mean, we do that all the time. And it is even in our house, though, it gets frustrating. And we have to sort of pump the brakes on the chastising of especially the high schooler now, because we'll be like, why is your grade parked at this? Mm-hmm. And then he'll go and he'll say, well, because I turned in this, this, and this. She hasn't input it yet. And then you have to go, okay, is he telling the truth?
I know.
Is he not telling the truth?
That conversation happens every week in my house.
You know, it's frustrating.
You know, why is this showing up as missing? I don't know. I turned it in, but it's showing up as missing in the portal. Yeah, but I turned it in. I guess we'll just wait and see.
Which way was better? Was it better when you just got the grade and everything was, you know, like was the ignorance bliss?
Yeah.
As opposed to having the ability now as parents?
Because my parents were only mad at me four times a school year, not every week.
That's right. That's a good point.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you
I could just build up to that, and then they'd get mad at me. We would have the blow up, and then, all right, okay, 4 weeks later, we'll repeat this same conversation.
Well, and if you...
But the middle time was lovely.
Just like one bad day.
Yeah, that's a really good... I mean, when you start to...
Just do your homework.
You start to...
Well, that was plan B.
Fair enough.
Well, think about it for a moment, because it used to be... You know, it used to be that you get your grades, and if your grades in that report card weren't good, then you say, okay, well, they need to be better or here the next time that report card comes out.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. And now...
And then you had 4 weeks.
And then
longer than that.
Yeah. But now, that's not the way it is anymore. And I really would have to sit down and work it out, because I don't know what's better. Because right now, you can stay on top of it, but the level of frustration...
It's perpetual now.
Yeah.
It's perpetual levels of frustration instead of quarterly.
I feel bad for my child now.
Right?
I feel really bad. I feel really bad. That's what, you know, Kyle, they don't even do grades at Kyle's age, which just seems stupid to me. I get so... Because I asked Melinda, they get you know, the outs. It's like meeting expectations.
Yeah.
You know.
Exceeding expectations.
Exceeding expectations. Yeah, low expectations. You know, the superhero. You know, going to be president one day. I don't know what the standards are. It's like, just put grades on it.
Yeah.
Like everybody else does.
How do you know what my expectations are?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
I expect an A.
Yeah. I got to work up. But for Logan, that's a completely different ball. I feel...
Yeah. I mean, we check that portal not every day, but almost every day.
Oh, William checks it every day.
And, and checking on missing assignments and things like that. And it's this constant sort of just riding. I turned that in already. You know, it just hasn't been graded yet. It hasn't been input yet.
You know what? I think I'll stop giving him such a hard time for spending a lot of time in the shower. Yeah. I think, you know, for taking too long a shower. Because he likes to relax. That's what
that's his me time.
Yeah, that's everyone's got their me time. And I probably just ruined his entire school career now. If anybody knows what I do and knows that I'm his dad. He went back to school today after having 2 days off. Out of the Pioneer Press. Let's go here. A hypothetical zombie apocalypse is to blame for a recent controversy at Parker's Prairie High School in West Central Minnesota. A teacher gave ninth grade geography students an assignment that the principal, Carrie Johnson, initially said was part of a nationally recognized curriculum called zombie-based learning. One of the questions asked students to choose three people to sacrifice during a zombie apocalypse and explain why they were chosen.
No.
That sounds like fun.
Well, hold on. I'm with the whole zombie based learning thing. Like, okay, I get it. You got to make learning fun. You want to add some creativity to
it. Yeah,
that's fine. But choosing people to sacrifice, that seems like a terrible idea to ask kids, because then they're going to write down who they're going to sacrifice. That's going to cause all sorts of problems.
Well, maybe that'll help the kids that are going to be sacrificed.
What if all the kids in the class choose like the same person as their number one choice?
Well, then that person gets a wake up call.
Clearly needs work.
Clearly
you need work.
Clearly there's that
everybody sacrificed Drew.
Absolutely.
Wait, what?
Clearly there's something wrong with you that you need to address. I'm completely being sarcastic, by the way. I'm with Drew on this. It's really kind of awful to go and have to sacrifice students. The assignment from the teacher angered some parents of the ninth graders, such as Michelle Diedrich. Yep.
Because everybody sacrificed their daughter, I bet.
Now, while the zombie-based learning curriculum created by Washington State teacher David Hunter has been used in the district for a number of years, this specific question had never been included alongside the curriculum previously. Hunter said it is not part of the curriculum he has written. He said, the zombie-based learning that I've written and published does not talk about people dying, killing zombies, or even weapons, Hunter said in an email. He said that instead, his curriculum focuses on outsmarting and outthinking zombies in order to survive, and that is a very directly tied to using geographic thinking skills. Yeah, so it is unclear based off the story. According to Johnson, the teacher gave the writing assignment as a supplement in addition to the curriculum. After concerns were raised, the school decided not to grade that particular assignment. You know, they do have to make it more interesting, you know, for students. I get it. This seemed like someone just went and took it.
Yeah.
Took it a step too far.
Amped it up a notch.
Yeah.
Just watches way too much Walking Dead.
Well, you know, it's a good show.
It is a good show, but at the end of the day, you know, you got to sacrifice three of your friends to survive.
Yeah. But that's a horrible.
It's terrible.
Yeah. I would have been the one being sacrificed, I'm sure. you know, John can go. He's kind of useless. 651-989-5855. Let's go and talk with Tim in Minneapolis, wants to comment on school grades. Good morning, Tim. Thanks for calling in. Welcome to Twin Cities News Talk.
Yeah, thanks. We've had that where my kids go to school for years, and those online portals, I don't think they work very well because they're just never up to date. You try and check them every day, and stuff on there, it's old or it hasn't been updated, and it's constant problems. Even the absentees, we get robocalls every time somebody marks my kid absent, and he's never right. So the technology, I guess, and the way they use it, it's just not up to snuff.
Well, you know,
if government has taught us one thing, it's that they're terrible at websites.
Yeah.
Terrible at websites.
Well, and it's something, and, you know, and it is something that I'll think about and even talk to Melinda about, because, you know, as a parent, it's easy to look at it as sort of, and I guess through my lens, I look at it as sort of workplace rules, right? And unfortunately, while I believe you should be able to apply workplace rules to this, that's not the case. And what I mean by that is, if my kid turns in an assignment, then that should be implemented as soon as possible so that he gets proper credit for that. Mm-hmm. And you kind of think about it like if this is happening in your workplace, that's the expectation that you have. I turn the work in, I better get credit for it. But cutting the teachers some slack should also be involved in here when you consider class size, the number of students that have to do it. You know, it really needs.
Well, that's the thing. I think, you know, probably the solution to this is a clear setting of expectations from the teacher to the parents. My assumption is if you're going to do all this on a website, it's all going to be digital, you're going to have a portal, then like with any website, I expect it to be updated pretty much immediately.
Right.
Right. So I think the teacher needs to communicate to the parents, look, you know, it takes a few days to get these things into the portal. It takes at least 24 hours for, you know, credit to be given for an assignment, so that parents aren't coming home every day and going, no, this assignment was due today and it's showing still missing, you know, and giving their kids crap when their kids haven't done anything wrong and they've turned the assignment in as expected.
Yeah, and there almost needs to be like a separate standard or time frame of which those grades need to be implemented. And maybe there is, and I haven't seen it. I mean, you know, Melinda handles this and takes care of the emails that come from the district. I mean, I get them too, but she's the one that kind of handles that. But we've had circumstances where the teacher has gone and implemented the wrong information. And that is, again, talking about that stress that it creates in the household. If you're a parent that's on top of it, that it is stress. I mean, that's That's tangible stress.
Yeah.
That causes strife in the household.
That's right. Yeah. Your kids are being stressed out by that, especially if you're giving them grief for having things showing up missing on their portal that aren't actually missing, that they did the work and turned in.
Speaking of stress, there's also stress that comes from the schools themselves. Out of the Star Tribune, kids whose families fall behind on school lunch payments should not be shamed over the money due. The districts employing hard-line tactics could run the risk of having state aid withheld from them, according to one state lawmaker. So apparently, there's been shaming that's been taking place over the school lunch debts.
Yeah, Sarah Anderson says it's school-sanctioned bullying of children. So she's exploring ways to protect students from being stigmatized following a news report that a southern Minnesota school cafeteria worker was scooping food off of the trays of children who owe money and dumping the lunches into a bucket as the students watched. And this wasn't just some like rogue cafeteria worker. This was what she was told to do by the administration in that school.
Do you think that's an individual problem with one person or more of a systemic issue? Because that's downright horrible. No, and Anderson went on to say it is school-sanctioned bullying of children. It's not their fault. Mm-hmm. Late last year, districts across the metro area saw negative balances erased following a popular tweet urging donations to school lunch accounts. We actually covered this. This in the St. Paul's case, that meant the clearing of more than $27,000 in debt for all its students. A difference between a hot meal and a cheese sandwich. Now, advocacy groups, including Hunger Solutions Minnesota and the Legal Services Advocacy Project, mobilized anew last week after a report of the in-your-face tray scraping occurring at Stuartville School District. The groups held a state capitol news conference attended by Anderson and found the state education commissioner, Brenda Casilius, also issuing a statement echoing their concerns. Taking food away from a child in front of their peers or limiting their access to school activities or athletics over meal debt is downright wrong, not to mention mean, she said. She urged the districts to cover the debts and reserve funds rather than shame children or deny them a meal. I have a solution to all this. You ready? And just get rid of the schools providing lunches altogether and just be able to kids bring their own.
Well,
you can save all kinds of money.
That's one. Well, the problem is that these school lunch programs have turned into profit centers for companies. These are often privatized, and there's companies out there making a lot of money by providing these services to schools. It's gotten ridiculous. I mean, there are these a la carte menus where you can get, you know, pastries and all these things. And yeah, a kid who isn't paying attention could rack up a massive amount of school debt, of school lunch debt, in a really quick time because they just go through these a la carte lines and say, oh, that looks good, give me that. Oh, that looks good, give me that, never thinking about how much each individual item is costing.
Right.
I'm not, maybe I'm speaking from personal experience with my kid here. This might have happened in my house. It's insane how much they can rack up and how quickly they can rack up without even thinking about it. I think you can go that route where it's like, fine, you know what? We're just going to get rid of food programs in schools. You're responsible.
That's never going to happen.
Yourself. That's never going to happen. Nope. People aren't going to tolerate that. So my solution is just have a uniform lunch, one lunch. Everybody gets it at no charge. Just stop. If you don't like,
isn't that the way it used to be?
No, when I was in school, we paid, but it was like less than a dollar, you know, for lunch.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they made the standard meal. You didn't have options available.
It was around a dollar.
It wasn't like a Golden Corral,
exactly, which is kind of what they've got going on now. So just everybody, uniform lunch. Post the menu online. Everybody gets it. You don't charge for it, and if you don't like it, then you bring your own.
Speaking of shaming, we get emails. Like, if there is, like, on occasion, Kyle will pay. And if he's got a balance, I mean, I don't care. I think I got an email once from the school with a balance of, like, 5 cents.
Yeah.
Like, your son has a balance of 5 cents that he currently owes. Like, they don't tolerate it. They come to your house. They take your wallet. No.
Yeah, there's a story here in the Star Tribune. If parents who owe more than $75 may face debt collection.
651.
This is ridiculous.
989-5855. We'll get to more of this coming up. Also, Pete Hegseth from Fox News will be joining us just after 8:30 this morning. Justice.